Well, thank you, worship team. That was wonderful. It's good to sing of God's grace. Amen? You all here? Okay, just checking. It's a library book, returned a day late, or someone letting you in line at the supermarket. You know, they got a big pile and you've got two. It's similar to being late, but not in trouble. Or needing personal time for appointments, and your employer just affirms you to go ahead. I have often heard the word grace in my life. You get grace. I've had many overdue library books lost to my clutter, but I've received grace. This morning we're continuing our understanding series by looking at understanding God's grace. And maybe many of you think like this cartoon and have heard this statement about grace. Con, what does grace mean? Well, Nim, grace is the state of sanctification by God or the personification of one who's under such divine influence that it's important to note that the presence of grace is anathema to the commission of sin. I see. Very interesting. Abby, what does grace mean? You know, I can't even pronounce some of those words. Grace. It can be confusing to us. And so we need to understand God's grace. I invite you to turn to the book of John, chapter 1. And we're going to look at these verses in John, chapter 1, verses 14 to 16, as we look at God's grace. John, chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another." May God add his blessing to his word. You see, God's grace is, first of all, it is received. God's grace is received. I mean, it says that the Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And from the fullness of his grace, we've all received one blessing after another. Now, Jesus, full of grace, full of truth, our Lord Jesus Christ typified grace. I mean, what's interesting, though, is that Jesus never used the word grace. He lived and he taught grace. Jesus died for grace. I want to impress you by sharing a bit of Hebrew. Grace in Hebrew means to bend. It means to stoop. Wherever Jesus walked, he stooped. He touched. He blessed. Every person in this sanctuary has beheld the grace of Jesus. Each one. Now, we often hear grace referred to as undeserved or unmerited favor. Now, there is no way that you can earn the grace of God. There's no way that you can work to replace the grace of God. That's grace. God grants grace, but have you received the grace of God? Have you received the grace that God is so willing to give you? I mean, Christ came, he died, and he complemented the Father's requirements for sin, and he completed all that. And all we need to do is we need to claim his grace by accepting the free gift of eternal life, period. You can't work for it. And God the Father, he smiles at us because of his Son's death and resurrection. So God looks at you and he smiles when you receive his grace. His amazing grace. What joy there is in knowing that God's grace is ready for you to receive and enjoy. But so often we want to work for it. We think somehow that, okay, God did this for me, I better make sure I do this for Him in return, because He's got to forgive me. If I do this, He'll forgive me. We often think that way. There was a little boy visiting his grandparents on their farm, and he was given a slingshot to play with out in the woods. You know what slingshot? How many know what a slingshot is? Yeah, how many have used the slingshot? Yeah, right. So have I. Oh, and I live to talk about it. Because every time I got that thing, it went everywhere. I don't know. But he practiced in this wood, the little boy practiced in the wood, and he could never, ever hit the target. I mean, he would pull that slingshot back and zoom and go everywhere. So getting a little discouraged, he thought, well, it's almost dinner, getting hungry, I may as well just head back home. And he's walking back, and he saw his grandma's pet duck. And just out of impulse, he let that slingshot fly, and he hit the duck square in the head, killed it. Well, he was shocked, because he couldn't hit a thing in the woods, but he was pretty good on the duck. And he started grieving the duck, and in a panic, he did what every common sense person would do. He hid the dead duck in the wood pile with his sister watching. Sally saw it all. She didn't say anything. Kept quiet. Now, you may think that's grace. Just wait. We're not done. After lunch, next day, Grandma said, Sally, let's wash the dishes. Sally said, Grandma, Johnny told me he wanted to take my dishes and do the cleaning in the kitchen today. She whispered to him, she said, remember the duck? Johnny did the dishes. Later that day, Grandpa asked if all the children want to go fishing, and Grandma said, I'm sorry, I need Sally to help make supper. And Sally just smiled, said, oh, I'll be going fishing. She said, Johnny told me he wanted to help make supper in the kitchen. She whispered again, Johnny, remember the duck? Sally went fishing and Johnny stayed behind to help. Several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's, and he couldn't stand it any longer. And so he went to Grandma. He said, Grandma, you won't even believe what happened. I killed your duck. I hit it in the wood pile. And he was just crying. And Grandma knelt down, and she gave him a hug, and she said, sweetheart, I know. See, I was standing at the window, and I saw the whole thing. But because I love you, I forgave you. I was just wondering how long you'd make Sally make a slave out of you. Whatever's in your past, whatever you've done, and the devil keeps throwing it in your face, lying, cheating, debt, fear, bad habits, hatred, anger, bitterness, whatever it is, you need to know God's standing at the window. And He sees the whole thing. He knows your entire life. And He wants you to know that you are loved and that you are forgiven. He's just wondering how long you will let the devil make a slave out of you. You see, the great thing about God is that when you ask forgiveness, He not only forgives you, but He forgets all about it, and it's by God's grace that all that occurs. And He's at the window, and He sees it. And when you come to Him and you say, hey, by the way, I hid the duck in the woodpile, He goes, I know. I was just wondering how long you were going to allow yourself to be tormented. And now that you came to me, it's all dealt with. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, He was thinking of you. That's grace. You can't work for what Jesus did. You can't work for what God the Father did. There's no way that you can ever achieve what the grace of God gives to you every moment of your life. You can't. All you can do is receive it And that's the greatest blessing for God. The Apostle Paul understood this. He penned those words in 1 Corinthians 15:10. He said in the Amplified, "But by the grace, the unmerited favor and blessing of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not found to be for nothing, fruitless and without effect. In fact, I worked harder than all of them, the apostles, though it was not really I, but the grace, the unmerited favor and blessing of God, which was with me." You see, receiving God's acceptance by grace always stands in sharp contrast to earning it on the basis of works. We always want to earn favor, but with God, you've already got it. You can't earn it. He just gives it. Every time the thought of grace appears, there's this idea of it being undeserved, and it is. You don't deserve the grace of God. But out of love, God gives grace. Totally, absolutely free. You'll never be asked to pay it back. You couldn't even do it if you tried. That's where we have trouble with it, because we work for everything we get, but grace comes to us free and clear. There's no strings attached. Has anyone here ever met the monarchy? Anyone in the monarchy? Anybody? Have you ever seen them? Oh, you've seen them. Queen Lizzie and Prince Philip. Okay. Well, here was a newspaper article about the Duchess of Cornwall. And there's a headline news. The Duchess of Cornwall meets students at the women-only Fatima Jinnah University. And here's the Duchess of Cornwall in the middle of these ladies, circled around them. See, if you notice anything about the monarchy, you'll note that they're sophisticated. They're almost aloof, in a sense. Distance is one thing for sure. But there are those occasions where the royals will make headline news because someone in the noble ranks stops to go into the crowd, kneel down, and touch and bless a commoner. That's grace. There's nothing in the crowd that deserves being noticed or touched by a royal member, but because of the heart of grace, there's a desire at that moment to pause, stoop, touch, maybe even bless. And when that happens, I can assure you that that person doesn't wash their hand for 2 months. You know, I got touched by the Queen. You know? Donald Barnhouse said, "Love that goes upward is worship. Love that goes outward is affection. Love that stoops is grace." John, here, one of the 12, remembers there was something about Jesus that was like no one else. It was uniqueness that his disciples beheld his glory. "And this glorious one was full of grace and truth," explained John. Full of grace and truth. It was Jesus' glory mixed with grace and truth that made him different. In a world of darkness and demands and rules and regulations and requirements and expectations demanded by the hypocritical religious leaders, Jesus came and ministered in a totally different way. He alone, full of grace and full of truth, introduced a different way to live. God's grace is not only shown by the cross, but it is also God's grace that teaches us not to sin. It's not the grace of God that says, "All right, you got away with it. Go ahead, you can do it again. Go ahead, you can." No, it's the grace of God that says, "Don't do this anymore." I love that about grace. That's the kind of grace that God gives. He says, "You know, I love you this much. This is how great my grace is, that I don't want you to do that anymore, because I know it hurts you when you do it." That's grace. We think it's an iron fist, But the grace of God is leading us on a path that is right. One morning while Jesus was teaching in the temple, the Jewish leaders brought to him a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery, and the woman was caught in a sinful attempt to meet the deep longings of her soul. And Jesus very lovingly protected her from the violence of the self-righteous mob, and he stood alongside of her. He did not condone her sin, but neither did he condemn her. I mean, the law was very clear. Stone her was the law. But by his grace, Jesus called out these words, "He is without sin, let him cast the first stone." That's grace. The religious rulers, I mean, they had every right to bury her beneath rocks, and they were ready to, but Jesus intervened with grace. Now please notice what Jesus did not say. He did not say, "You're sinning. Yes, I know, but just continue ahead. Go ahead. It's all right." No. He said, "Don't do this anymore. Don't do this anymore. I protect you from those rocking rulers, but don't do this anymore." I love that kind of grace. Then there was the time Lazarus died and Jesus was faced with anger and ridicule and blame that you should have been here earlier. I mean, Jesus could have sent his accusers to eternity, but he refused to even answer back in an argument. He just came and said, "Lazarus, get up." That's grace. Jesus, his favorite theme was grace. He spoke of grace. He handled children with grace. Situations were earmarked with grace. His judgment, thankfully, consists of grace. Whenever Jesus shows up, grace abounds. Grace abounds when Jesus shows up. But I need to receive God's grace. You see, grace means I'm free to choose how I want to live with the freedom God gives me to live in. I want to receive his grace. You see, God's grace is received, but God's grace is also released. For of his fullness we have all received. We've all received. We've all received one blessing after another. You see, Jesus constantly aligned himself with righteousness, integrity, honesty, and absolute adherence to the truth. He spent himself on those who were oppressed, misjudged, misunderstood, victimized. His compassion broke all boundaries. No one was excluded from him. The amazing thing about Jesus was that he attracted crowds, and he didn't have a target group. People listened to him, and he didn't have gimmicks to attract them. I mean, how could this be? How could Jesus so effectively draw people closer to God because he was the Son of God, but more than that, because he served with grace? Let your attitude be the same as that of Christ Jesus, says Philippians. You and I didn't deserve the blessing of the cross, but Jesus loved us to that point, and his grace continues with each of us, and each moment we receive his grace, we behold his glory. You think about it for a moment. People who are compassionate, people who make you feel better than they are, people who stoop. You just want to be around those people because they're always showing grace. They're always demonstrating the grace of God. It's like this Pickles cartoon. This is grace. Look at this. It's up in the attic. Earl's looking in a box of old clothes. Finds a good old shirt there. "Where'd you get that shirt, Earl?" "It was in a box of old clothes in the attic. It looks good on me, don't you think?" "Yes, indeed. I didn't have the heart to tell him it's one of my old maternity tops." You know. Now that's grace. I'm just laughing because I see some of you wives, you're going like this. "Remember when you wore that?" People like that you definitely want in your life. Because they're kind. They lift your day. People are attracted to those kind of people. Now, I got to tell you, I've learned a lot about grace from First Baptist PA. I mean, when you see someone who is hurting, you are doing what you can do to help them. I was thinking about this. I recalled a time when, we gathered different groceries for a family that was in need, various items, and then one service we were together and one worship time, and we gathered and we walked over to their apartment carrying the goods that we had collected to deliver to them. And the look on their faces, the tears in their eyes were more than we could handle. We prayed for them, and I got to tell you, they came to church and they received the grace of God in their life. That was over 9 or 10 years ago. It's grace. Sending $5,000 to a small Baptist church in Nova Scotia that was ready to shut down because they didn't know how they were going to make it financially, and then $5,000 comes from this church. That's grace. Giving our photocopier to the Quest, as good as mighty as it is, that's grace. Timber Bay was in the thick of a forest fire, and the missionaries needed a facility to house students to continue the program. We willingly provided our building. That's grace. And we received numerous compliments about the bread runner. Thanksgiving to God for the bread run. And people even just said last week, God bless you for this bread run. You know, we received many notes of encouragement about how we've just been met needs or looked at, sponsored a child to camp or whatever. We get thank yous for that. Here's one from the Colorado group who comes through here every year. So God blesses us through your ministry to let us use your building. Lovely building, gracious people. Grace. I mean, I know roofs have been shingled, lights have been changed, water heaters fixed, doors have been replaced. Lives have been changed because someone was willing to listen. That's all grace. Pastor Peter was speaking in our staff meeting this past week about a missionary who spent a lifetime in one of the countries of Africa, 15th or 16th century. And due to the political nature of the country, the name Jesus Christ could not be spoken. Actually, he was in Sudan. And the missionary died there, not ever being able to verbalize the word Jesus Christ to these people. Around 18 or 20 years later, the doors opened wide in the country, and the name of Jesus Christ was no longer an issue. And missionaries were now allowed into the country. And a missionary soon entered the country and spoke of Jesus. And when the people heard tell of this Jesus, they said, wait, this Jesus, he was here. He was here with us. He was the same man that you speak of. He died, but he was here. See, that former missionary lived and died. Lived in such a way that they saw Jesus. They didn't know his name, but they had met his grace through that missionary. That should be the epitaph of every Christian. I mean, this baffles people, the grace of God. Jesus demonstrates grace, and that baffles people. In fact, this often started and angered his opponents who failed to comprehend the true meaning of grace. They got upset with him. How about you today? Are you missing out on what ministering the grace of God really means? Are you living your life releasing grace? That's how we need to live. Mark Twain said, let us so live that when we come to die, even the undertaker will be sorry. Understanding God's grace is knowing that you have the capacity, you have the capability to show grace as long as you've received his grace. See, you have received grace if you know Jesus. And he's your Lord. But you also have it within you to release that grace. It's just like Jesus. Remember, he was hanging on the cross and he called out. He said, Father, punish them. Now he said, Father, forgive them. That's grace. No resentment, no bitterness. Remarkable. Grace came from only one on earth who had unlimited power and presence, the Son of God. But grace is not limited to him. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. How are you doing with grace today? when someone hurts or offends me or persecutes me, at that moment, I have a choice to make. I mean, I can choose to show grace, or I can walk away hurt and offended and never have anything to do with them again. Christ took every opportunity to show grace. To show grace. I believe that God loves us so much. His love is so deep for us that he places us in situations and circumstances around us for us to deepen our ability to release grace. Because we're never more like the Savior than when we release grace. Let's pray. I've said as followers, we need to take on the same attitude and accountability that the Bible tells us. That our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Oh, he took so many opportunities to show the grace of God. Jesus Christ, our Lord, stooped. He hung high on a cross, but he stooped low in his humanity. By giving his life for you. And following that mandate is difficult. It's even impossible when we try to do it on our own. It's hard to be a person of grace. Have you ever believed that you could do it? What if you knew that you could do it? What if you knew that you could truly live a fulfilled Christian life by demonstrating grace just like Jesus? Would you want that if you could? It's all in the heart. It's all in the heart. Maybe you need to say to God this morning, maybe you need to say, God, thank you for your grace so lovingly demonstrated to me. And then maybe you need to say, God, I want to be an ambassador of your grace. There are so many occurrences throughout Scripture, throughout the life of Jesus while he was here on this earth, of where he showed grace. In fact, he got angered at the religious rulers when they didn't show grace. Maybe Jesus is calling you to a whole new understanding of what his grace really means. Maybe you've been trying to earn it. Maybe you've been trying to work for it. All God wants you to do is just be a servant because of your love for him and because you love him. That's the big thing. But today you know that you can release grace. And maybe you need to say, God, thank you for the ways in which I can release grace. I'm even going to do that today. There's a situation right now, God, I'm walking through that I can show grace. And I'm going to do that today, God. And I give that to you. I surrender that to you. And empower me, prepare me to show your grace in that situation. Maybe that's what it is right now God is talking to you about. If you're coming to God in that way today, saying, God, I want to release grace. I want to receive grace. I want to release grace. Just lift your hand. Just lift it up. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. The Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. God sees those hands. Lord bless you. Maybe you heard this morning about receiving the grace of God. That means that you know that Jesus Christ forgives you, that God forgives you for the wrongdoings in your life, for all the bad stuff you've ever done, will do. He will just wipe your slate clean. As long as you come to him and say, Father, forgive me. I've done some bad stuff. Wash me whiter than snow. And you can do that. You can receive that grace of God. That's why he died on the cross, was to show you how much he loved you so that you could have eternal life in heaven. And he did that because of grace. And maybe you've never received that grace of God today. Maybe you've never received it. This morning, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, I'm going to ask you if you're going to say, God, I just want you to forgive me. I need your grace today. I want you to forgive me in my heart. I want to be a Christian. I want to live like you. God, that's what I want. Just lift your head while every head is bowed. Just lift your head. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Receive the grace of God today. Lord, bless you. Father, even singing those songs of grace, marvelous grace, we get teary-eyed because, God, to think of the cost of grace, it's overwhelming. The cost by giving your life and sacrificing who you are for grace is such a picture of love. Lord, our defenses get up and we want it our way, but grace, again, Lord, needs to reign in our hearts and in our lives. We just want it your way, God. Thank you for the surrender of your life. Thank you for the expression of grace day by day, moment by moment. Lord, we don't deserve it, but by your grace, you give it. For that, we are grateful. For that, we want nothing more than to be obedient to you and to have that attitude of Christ Jesus. We pray this to your glory and honor today. In Jesus Christ's name, may what we say and do glorify you. Amen.